Welcome to Adelaide Plains Chapter and Verse monthly podcast for all aspiring wordsmiths and versifiers.
Okay, so here we are for the August podcast. Carolyn Corden, President of Adelaide Plains Poets, and we've got Jeanette.
Hi, I'm here.
And we've got
Michelle.
We're going to talk about news, then we're going to have a discussion, then we've got writer tips, then we've got word of the day, doing some reading our own work, and then the listener's challenge. So let's get started. News. We had a most fantastic workshop with Rachel Mead and going political with the economy, eco poetry. I really love that idea.
Oh, cool. What did she talk about?
Just write.
Just write.
Be an advocate for the planet, basically.
Yeah. Mm. And did she follow any particular format?
Rachel showed us some different ways to get into activist poetry. Different genre. There was the where you write a prose piece in the activist voice, and there's various others, and I've got them somewhere else and I can't remember that. I'm not in my head, but anyway, she gave us lots of ideas, and I'm really happy with the piece that I wrote, which is with me right here now.
Does she talk about that there's like publishing particular places that will publish that kind of thing, or
she didn't give us ideas on places to do it, but she was giving us ideas on what to do. Yeah. And basically everywhere you are is a place where you can be an activist for the planet, for the environment, be a voice.
Be a voice.
Save the trees and the animals and everything.
Yep.
And all of us, if we save the planet, hey.
Be the Lorax.
Needed more and more, this poor planet.
Yeah. And then the usual poetry reading. We had some new people there, we had some people who've been there before, and the numbers are changing, and new people, it's always exciting.
Is the style of poetry changing, do you think?
There's always different, people do different stuff. Probably we have some who read rhyming poetry, and quality of the five-word challenge is increasing hugely, whether it's because our group members are learning how to do five-word challenges better because of doing them other places as well. But the quality of those was, you know, printable poetry being written in 10 minutes using these five words plus others. It's an exciting way to write. The challenge, you know, people really rise to the challenge on that one. So, who's next?
Well, just in world literary news, there isn't much that I could find. H.G. Wells died on the 13th of August. And on the 2nd of September was 1973, Tolkien died. And on more cheerful news, the 9th of September will be Tolstoy's 190th birthday. So that was it for...
Oh, wow, that'd be one big old cake, wouldn't it?
Yes, a lot of candles.
A lot of candles.
And your fire alarms go off for sure.
Tolstoy's 190th, that long ago. Impresses and amazes me. Not amazes, that's probably not a very nice word. It impresses me that his work is still so strongly followed. I mean, when you think about it, that's 150 years, and he was quite...
Oh, to have written something that important to other people.
Well, and he was quite an interesting character, if you read about him.
Yes, very.
Fascinating man, really, so far ahead of his time. He was a hippie way before the days of the hippies sort of thing. Yeah. Very, very interesting man. So I think it's interesting that his work is still... so valued and
it's
treasured.
Just such a portrait of life. When I read War and Peace when I was 12.
Yeah.
It was just my favourite book. I loved it. And I reread it again as a teenager. And then years later when I read, I realised how much I'd been influenced by it.
Yeah.
I was really surprised when I reread it as an adult. Wow, this really did.
So you took that on board for sure.
I took a lot on board from that book when I was a teenager.
Oh, wow, that's really...
It really... And I love Anna Karenina as well. But this month, we're talking about what...
Okay, so I do lots of my writing. I have wear many hats. I'm the editor of Mallow Crossroad Chronicle, and the new one, August, is just out, which is wonderful.
In colour.
In colour.
Glorious colour.
Some are in colour. They're available here. At the moment, I also write poetry, which is what I do the most and what I like the most. I have written short stories in the past, I had some of them published, and I'm also kind of writing a novel, if you call thinking about these two people and the other characters in this novel and actually writing some related things, you know, 250 words at a time, maybe, if that.
That's okay.
And then hopefully one day they'll grow together. Is that how you write a novel? I don't know.
I think you write a novel however you want to write a novel.
There's no rules.
I've read many books on how to write a novel, and I thought, you know what, you write a novel however you write the novel. I think whatever works.
I've never read a single book on how to write a novel. I just get on with writing
them. I feel like I'm playing at the idea of writing a novel. I'm not actually writing a novel, and it doesn't matter. I care about Meredith, who's the main character. I care about Meredith and Travis.
Once those characters lodge in your head and become real to you, then you just are compelled to keep.
I say that, but I still haven't actually gone and had a look at the house that she lives in. I know where she lives, but I haven't gone and looked at the house. Because she lives in a house in this town called Tallulah. She lives next door to a sporting facility in that town. I don't want to irritate somebody, so I don't say it's a Mallard bowling club that I'm talking about. It's the Tallulah bocce ground, I think. And there's a bit of history, political history there. And I know all this stuff. Yeah. It's in my head. I need to plug my head onto the laptop and go zap, and it will on my laptop.
I should do that.
I want to do that. I get to bed
at night and my brain starts churning and these words are just flowing through my brain. And I feel like I'm flowing onto paper.
Writing poetry is so much easier. I mean, it's 5-word challenges. I love them because you've got 10 minutes, you've got 5 words, you add some more words and bang, it's done. And just poetry. Although my most recent poetry collection that I submitted was rejected, so that's where I can go, maybe I don't do poetry in that world.
Okay, so my writing, I write a lot for work, which isn't very exciting, but I've decided it is, and it still all counts because it's all, if anything needs to be said or written properly at work, I'm kind of the go-to person, which is sort of nice, really. When I realised that, I thought, well, maybe I'm not too bad at this old, you know, habit of mine. I like to write. I'm attempting to start a blog. Good on me.
I'm a blogger, yep.
Yeah, and
I love the articles you do for the Mallard Crossroad Chronicle.
I am the green goddess of the Crossroad Chronicle. And I'm working on a book at the moment, which, thanks to the workshop I went to with Wendy Noble, kind of changed how I was writing it. So I probably, in my writing, do a lot of picture book sort of things. Because, you know, I understand how kids work, because I work with them. But then I was really struggling with this particular idea I really wanted to foster. And since I've done the workshop, I've actually done heaps of work on it, really
that's
fantastic.
Exciting.
I'm very excited about that. And also around some of that stuff about, it's a genre I don't normally write in, which is fantasy, which I've never really kind of thought about writing as.
Okay.
But yeah, but I'm really enjoying it. Which
have
means
you read
I'm
a lot of fantasy?
Well, no, that's what Wendy said to do. You've got to go
off
and read a lot of fantasy.
Did you the dragons?
Yes, I did that. I read
that. So that's fantasy. Was as a child.
A friend of mine is a huge fan of Robin Hobb, and I bought 2 Robin Hobb books today from the op shop for $1 each. So they're huge. So I get stuck into them. And, of course, I was just a huge Harry Potter fan. And I am possibly the only person on the planet who hasn't read Lord of the Rings or seen any of the movies. So I might have to get into that. But I, with this book of mine,
who's it set at what age range?
Set at the age range of about between 11 and 14. That's what I'm thinking. So I'm very much writing with my nieces in my head sort of thing. I'm actually really
upper primary then.
Yeah, and I'm really, really enjoying that. And what I'm very fortunate as an upper primary teacher, I've got a couple of kids in my class who are, well, I've got lots of avid readers, but this one particular girl, I said to her, right, here's my idea. What do you think? And she goes, I really love it. Have you thought of doing this? And I'm like, can I use that idea? So that's actually been rather lovely, where I've had to be quite brave.
Yep.
I floated an idea for a children's picture book past the kids one time, and the girls loved it, and the boy said, I quote, well, that sucks. But then I decided I wasn't really writing it for 13-year-old boys. I was writing it for 7-year-olds. So, yeah, so I guess that sort of genre, really quite children-based and fiddling around with an idea for an adult novel, but I've actually just had to park that because if you write 6 novels or 6 books or 6 anything at a time, nothing gets done. And I work. So
writing is what I do every available minute I get, which isn't, the last week hasn't been enough, but I have a problem with finding time to write. It's finding time for all the other things that I should be doing. That's my problem.
It's an evil word.
I write fiction, and I've written loads and loads of novels.
But
I'm long-winded.
What you've been doing most recently, most of your very important is non-fiction. Yeah, that's really exciting.
Ventured into, I'd written a short non-fiction item a few years ago, which was published in a local anthology, and that was well received. And I really enjoyed that whole process of investigating another person's life and also bringing to life the ordinary working people, not the fancy bloody panjandrums, to use a word from a previous podcast. But there's not enough history written of just people, average people, the kind of people we're descended from. You know,
speak for yourself. Oh my gosh, rude! I don't think she's got any idea the kind of people she podcasts with.
True. I am descended from them. My ancestors were decidedly
bloody ordinary.
Karen and I have fallen far.
No, ordinary.
My ancestors were humble. Because a lot of
delusional, that's okay. No delusions with Jeanette, no.
I've written a lot of historical fiction, so I have done a lot of historical research over the years. I did one on my partner's great-great-grandparents because that was literally all there. They had amazingly colourful lives. They got into not got into trouble, but they got into disputes a lot.
They are so in trove.
I'm finding very different because I decided to start writing my own grandparents' story, which is based mainly on old history, so it's a very different approach. But when I went into Trove to find information about them, nothing at all. Partly because their local newspaper has not yet been digitised, but even actual things I know that happened, I know were in the news, like the house fire. I cannot find a mention of the house fire. It's like it didn't happen, but I know it happened. I found one reference to it in a Melbourne court case, and that's it. But no account of the house fire. So there's nothing at all in Trove for this family.
Find somewhere else.
Well, as I said, it'll be mainly old. I've got the old stories. It's just that I want to back them up with historical facts.
Yes, for sure.
So the history.
Because there's lots of things. I mean, my father used to tell me some things. So that is just so not true, Dad. But he's gone now. I couldn't take the task.
Like the story about the horseways. I know it wasn't. Either it wasn't Farlap or it wasn't the Melbourne Cup, because they said, you know, it was 1929. Farlap did not win the Melbourne Cup in 1929.
Okay,
so I know that that story is incorrect.
Yep.
There's two different versions. I love my aunt's version, which had my grandmother putting her hands on her hips and saying, "You will not put the money on a racehorse." And Mum filtered out the domestic squabble aspect of it, which is what my mother would do. So, and it was her father being noble and deciding, no, I'll do the right thing. Not her father thinking, oh, if I put money on the horse, she'll murder me. And I think there's a little bit of the personality of my mother and the aunt that comes across in the telling, what they emphasise in the different telling of the story. It is interesting working on it.
And so the way your eyes light up when you're talking about historical fiction and history, because that event at a festival, that was you.
Yes,
you
it was.
Were absolutely, you were so there.
Very. Yes, I love history. I love being transported. And that's why I love Doctor Who, because, you know, the idea of being able to time travel and not stay there, just pop in and visit and leave again. Yeah. You need to go to the loo or whatever.
Yeah, see, I'm a kind of...
I don't really want to live in the past, but it's great to
I'm a live in the present kind of person. I don't go... History Channel on our TV doesn't really excite me.
There's not much history on the History Channel, so...
No, that's true. It's just wars and rubbish. Okay, we finished talking about that?
I think we have. Move on to the word of the day. Now, this one's a little controversial because I've got it out of Marilyn's lovely little book, and the word is snarker, which, according to this, is a burnt cake, something burnt, which is my cooking, and the boys all laughed hilariously because I burn everything.
I beg to disagree. Your Dutch apple pie is divine, and that is coming from a Dutch woman.
Indeed. So that's fun.
Occasionally. And this is coming from someone that writes a cooking column, but...
The photos look gorgeous, Jeanette. They look really gorgeous in colour, that's for sure.
In colour, yes.
That's not your fault. They don't look gorgeous in black and white. Nothing looks gorgeous in black and white.
No, especially food. Food doesn't.
So what's the word mean?
According to him, it means burnt cake, burnt offerings. Bit of a snarker. That one's a bit well overdone. And he backs it up with the dictionaries, his old English dictionaries, the old English language. But, of course, snarker today means someone that's snarky. or a bit snarky. So describes me again.
And snarky, snarky.
Are you snarky because you burnt your stuff though? That would match. You're somewhat snarky. I am a very snarker because I play a snarker. I think it dovetails beautifully. I wouldn't worry about it, Jeanette.
It does indeed. So that was the word of the day. Has anyone got something to read?
Okay, the rubric begins. I love winter. I'm one of those weird people who adore the rain and the hail and love nothing more than wrapping up in lots of woolen garments and staying inside drinking hot coffee or mulled wine, depending on the hour. I love using my umbrella, which was an expensive but highly necessary purchase from the art gallery. I love feeling my nose freeze as I tackle the walk home from the train station and piling blankets on top of the bed as the weight of them seems to help me sleep. I love homemade soup and cheese toasties and, to be perfectly honest, welcome any opportunity to be able to stay inside and read. Strange, I know, for a gardener, but I believe we all need a chance to slow down and hibernate, so I relish winter. But that all changed today when in my garden an iris joyfully flung its iridescent purple petals from the confines of its green cocoon. Immediately I felt the beginnings of my reboot. Raced out to greet it and take a photo for the prosperity of social media.
And it's a gorgeous photo, by the way. It's a shame you can't see it.
Thank you. Both as proof of my ability to grow such a beautiful bloom and as proof spring must be waiting patiently for the opportunity to really bless us with her presence. After praising the flower for its incredible skills and beauty, I apologise for the less than glorious reception it received as wind was still buffeting the garden, rain glared ominously overhead, and it was clearly still incredibly cold. I went inside to enjoy it from the warmth of my chair. It was while sitting back and admiring the garden that I began to contemplate all those tiny glimpses of spring that show themselves in the most unassuming ways. And I realised that over the past few days, the chooks were finally increasing their egg output and earning their keep. There was an extra spring in the steps of the ducks, who generally love winter, but seemed extra quacky and happy. Bits of greenery tinged the bare dirt ever so slightly, and buds for future blossoms were forming on my peach tree. I know people like to think that spring has sprung on us, but I actually believe she slowly comes upon us and that we're actually too cold and wet from winter to actually notice.
I like that. That's lovely. I look at around our place and bulbs came up with their green bits, and now I was out the front earlier today and there's flowers coming. We've got freesias and there's going to be flowers. Beautiful. And then I looked around and we've already got some flowers. Oh, I didn't know they, those freesias. Mm. I don't know how freesias got there. Freesias
get, isn't it? Yeah.
Freesias just travel. We've got freesias come up all over the place and I never planted them there. The bulbs go under the ground. And
like parsley.
Okay.
So, next thing, I think.
Melissa's challenge.
Yes, and I thought, even though we're now recording after it, but the Gawler Show, which is the end of the month. Partly because I went through all my photos and I found a photo that's really cute from the Gawler Show.
Nepotism at its highest.
Well, exactly. Nepotism at its highest. It's of my son, so yes.
That's all right. Your sons are cute. We'll allow that.
When they were once. Okay, so we'll leave it there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Fun. Let's go.
Until next month.